Episode number 225, Building a Church Communications Team That Scales Up, with Holly Tate. Part 1. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to Making Sunday Happen. I'm Carl. If you touch the worship experience in any way, shape, or form at your church, this is the podcast for you. So thank you so much for being here. This week's episode of our show is sponsored by the digital and home release of the new movie Overcomer by Alex and Stephen Kendrick. More to come on that, plus I'll share a link with you with my full exclusive interview with producer Stephen Kendrick. That's on the way. If you are last minute getting your Christmas worship experiences together, have no fear. We've got you covered. I want you to go to 1230.media/Christmas. That's 1230.media/Christmas for dozens of ready-made Christmas mini movies, service packs, full series boxes. Some of those boxes are one-week Christmas series, so you're not too late picking those up, and more. We also have a great partnership with our friends at Seeds Family Worship, who has an entire album of word-for-word scripture songs for Christmas. This mainly hits your kids' worship experiences, so it's great for your kids' directors too. That's all in our Go Unlimited library for only $49 a month. You get everything in the library for just $49 a month. So great deal. We try to keep the prices as low as we possibly can for you to get that content. So if you want your Christmas worship experiences to look great, it will look like you've been working on this for weeks if you get some of our ready-made content. So 1230.media/Christmas. We want to help you with that. And we know that you work so hard for Christmas, getting Christmas together, that sometimes planning for your new series coming in the beginning of the year, it comes very, very quickly. So we want to help you with that also. A lot of churches come to us for their January series to give their in-house team a break or to just help them relax over the holidays. So we're here to help you with that on the custom side as well. If you need custom sermon series graphics, bumpers, promos, trailers, welcome videos, anything like that, we would love to help you. Any graphic design or video need you have, 1230.media/quote. Mention the code CHRISTMAS10, that's CHRISTMAS10, in the description box when submitting your project, and we're going to give you 10% off your next project as a Christmas gift to you. So CHRISTMAS10 at 1230.media/quote. All right, this week on the show, I'm talking with my friend Holly Tate from Vanderblumen. Vanderblumen is an amazing organization. If you haven't checked it out, guys, they help churches, ministries, schools, and other nonprofits with hiring. They help with succession plans. They help with compensation, culture, coaching, and more. We have the privilege of producing the Vanderblumen Leadership Podcast with some of the best minds in the faith space. Recent episodes include interviews with Beth Moore, Joe White, Dr. Michael Lindsay, Pastor Tim Lucas from Liquid Church, and more. It's all at vanderblumen.com if you want to check them out, vanderblumen.com. But today, Holly and I will be talking about how to build a church communications team that scales up. We talk about leading up. We talk about how to build processes and systems, how to adapt your communications team to the ever-changing landscape of communications, and more. If your audience to your worship experience doubled, let's think for a second on that. If you have 200 people come into your worship experience, and next week you have 400 people, would your systems that you have in place, would they be able to handle that? So that's a major question that we're going to wrestle with today as I talk to Holly. But first, as I mentioned, this week's episode is brought to you by the digital and home release of Overcomer, the new film from Alex and Stephen Kendrick. You can catch my full interviews with producer Stephen Kendrick, as well as actress Sherry Rigby, who stars in the film, at 1230.media/overcomer. That's 1230.media/overcomer. We had a great time talking about how they made the film. They give some behind-the-scenes information, some great tidbits of information about how God moved on the set of the film and things like that. So check out my interviews with Stephen and Sherry, all at 1230.media/overcomer. Here's a little bit more about the digital release of the film, and then we're going to jump right to my interview with Holly Tate. Check this out.
Hey, this is Stephen Kendrick. On the special features of Overcomer, we talk about praying every day on set, seeking the Lord to help us to accomplish the impossible, and to give Him the glory at the end of it all.
Enjoy the deleted scenes.
Forgiveness is beautiful.
Lord, this is your film, and I just give you praise for everything that you accomplished today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Check it out on the special features of Overcomer.
Hey guys, today I welcome to the podcast my friend Holly Tate. Holly is the Vice President of Business Development at Vander Blumen. We have the privilege of producing the Vander Blumen Leadership Podcast for them, and I've really enjoyed getting to know Holly and their team. Holly, your usual spunk is back. You're feeling better?
Feeling better. Last week was brutal, Carl.
Such a great day.
It is.
So we got together last week, and you were a little under the weather, so I'm so glad that you are back to your spunky self.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, spunky. You know, I try to be. Bringing spunk to the world.
When I think of you, I think spunk.
Well, thanks.
But that's good. It's exciting. You're fun to be around, fresh. I love it.
Bringing up the energy level for everyone.
Awesome. All right, we've known each other a little while. We first got to hang out a little bit at That CC in Atlanta a few months ago. And you did a talk there all about how to scale up your communications team. And I thought the content was incredible. I wanted to get our audience to hear it as well. So set us up here. Why do I need a comm team that scales up?
Well, I can speak from personal experience in that, you know, I've been at Vander Blumen now for over 7 years, almost 7.5 years. And I think a lot of times as communications and marketers folks, we tend to complain a lot, right? It's like, oh, I need more money, or I need more team members, or I need more resources. But I really believe that if we can just be more efficient and focus and have priorities, then as we grow, then we realize sometimes it doesn't always take more people or more resources. It just takes doing the right thing and doing it really well. And so right. I think scalability is huge. Anytime you're talking about any team, I don't care if it's communications or your preaching team or your greeting team or discipleship team, I think scalability is huge. Scalability. Let's do it.
A little bit of the work smarter, not harder.
Exactly. That's a great way to put it.
So talk to me about how the landscape of communications is changing. I know Phil Battle is a good friend of both of us, I'm sure. And he's talked a lot about this lately in his new book about how the landscape is completely changing when it comes to communications. What are some of the things that you've seen?
Well, the biggest thing is the generation gap that we're seeing across the board in the world and in this country. The fact of the matter is that baby boomers have already retired or are facing retirement. Or to be honest, a lot of them are sticking around a lot longer than they should. And I mean, it's not to be rude, but it's
die off, why don't you?
Well, I mean, in the workplace, right?
Yeah.
So, and the millennials are now the biggest generation as far as numbers go, the largest generation in the workforce. And frankly, I think the conversation needs to change from what do we do about millennials, because we're already here. Like we're here, we're leading. We need to also be thinking about Generation Z and then after them. That's how far ahead we need to be thinking. But William Vander Blumen, our founder, he has this saying that he uses, and it gets me every time. He says, every kingdom breakthrough has happened on the heels of a communication breakthrough. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing, right? Like the Roman roads were built and the church was able to happen. Like Paul couldn't have spread the church, started the church, if it wasn't for the Roman roads, right? Yeah. And then we had the printing press and the Bible was able to be printed for the first time. People could read it. And then we, we had a lot of technological advances, but in 2007, Steve Jobs stood up and introduced the iPhone for the first time. That was only 12 years ago. So to think about how the rapid change that is taking place with technology is incredible. I can't imagine what another 12 years from now is going to look like. Like think about the first iPhone to now we have, you know, I don't even know, like iPhone 11 Pro, like three cameras on your phone, like whatever. It's amazing. So the landscape has changed in the sense that if we're not building teams that are thinking about what is the church going to look like a year from now, 5 years from now, 12 years from now, and right. building systems and processes to not only reach the generations that are currently in our church, but also reaching the next generation. If we're not thinking that way, then we're in trouble because we're going to become irrelevant. And so that's where I think we as leaders really need to be thinking about this shift that's happening. It's a mind shift. It's already happened from the generational gap that we have, and then the technological gap and just rapid change that we're facing.
So let me ask you a similar question. You might answer it the same way, but what does this mean for, and you kind of dipped into this a little bit, what does this mean for church communicators? Bring this into the church space. Maybe an example would be, how do we lead up? Bring us into church world a little bit.
Yeah. So I think especially in the church, if you're a communications or a marketing person, and you're not thinking about the wider landscape of what your church looks like, meaning who is the recipient, who's your customer of the work that you're doing in the marketing and communications team, right? If you're a Gen Z or a millennial and you're think that the only way that people consume content is via Snapchat, then you're not doing your job effectively, because the reality is you have people that are in their, you know, maybe their 90s, their 80s, their 70s, 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s. And you have got to be thinking about what does the landscape of our church look like? Who's our audience as far as our church goes? And how do we communicate effectively to all of those generations that are represented in our church? Because that's our job, is to effectively communicate the greater vision that our senior leadership has. Communicate that to our congregations and then ultimately our communities so that they know what our church is up to in our communities. And leading up is a huge part of that. We've got to help our senior leadership think about, okay, if this is where we're trying to go, if this is our mission and this is our vision, this is our sermon series that we're about to launch in the fall, what should our communication strategy and plan look like so that we can effectively communicate that to everybody at our church? And we, in order to do that, we have to know who those people are.
So I think you bring up a good point. I talked with a couple of guys a few weeks ago about how to use print design in your worship experience. And I think a lot of times as a millennial, we might keep pushing on technology, which I think is good, and social media, which is great. But let me flip this on you a little bit. Talk to the millennial who's trying to reach the older crowd as well. And what I'm getting at is we need to know that sometimes a printed handout is going to work better in some circumstances with some generations than a Facebook post or whatever. So
yeah,
across all generations. So maybe speak to that a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we have to know who our congregation is. If we're sitting behind our computer all day and we're not interacting with our congregations as communicators and marketers, then we're not going to be able to know what is going to be effective. So rather than just taking educated guesses or assuming, I think it's important that we really think strategically about how do we get the message out. So the first question I would ask for a church communicator is, do you know who's in your congregation? Have you done a survey recently to really get a handle on the generations that are represented? And ask them, how would they like to receive the information from the church? Is it through an email newsletter? Is it through a printed bulletin? Is it through PowerPoint slides or push notifications or text messages or Facebook? Like, there's a million different ways to communicate these days. I think that's what makes our jobs as communicators really difficult, is because there are 11 bajillion different ways to communicate. It's a matter of what's most effective. So as the communicator, it's your job to figure out who is sitting in those pews, or maybe they're not sitting in the pews. Maybe they're watching online.
Right.
How do we communicate effectively to those people that are engaging with our church? That's our job to figure out, not to force them into the way that we want to communicate. That's the backwards way of thinking about it. Our congregations are our customers as communicators, and so we need to serve them well, not force them into a framework that we think is best.
So with that being a base, why is it important for us to build systems that scale?
Well, because we have limited resources, especially in churches and ministries. There's not just unlimited resources at our fingertips. And so the reason why scalability is really important is this one question. If we doubled overnight, would the systems and processes that we're using today serve us tomorrow? So I'm going to say that again. If we doubled overnight, would the systems and processes that we're using today serve us tomorrow? And I think this is twofold. Number one, it's kind of a self-protective method of thinking, right? If we double tonight, we don't want to have a lot more work for us tomorrow. We want to be able to continue to do our job tomorrow. But also, if something were to happen, whether you get another job and you move on, or something tragic were to happen, or something awesome were to happen and you can't be in your job anymore, you get promoted, we want to build a scalable systems and processes so that someone can come in behind us and no momentum is lost at our church. Sometimes that scares people because we all want to be needed in our roles, right? We want to go on vacation. We want people to miss us when we come back because mm-hmm. we're so busy and we add so much value to the team. But I would encourage us, especially as marketers and communicators, to think about how can we constantly replace ourselves? Because a lot of the church is riding on the systems and processes that we build of getting the message out about, you know, internal communications and external communications about what God is doing at our church. So I think it's really important that we're thinking about scalable systems and processes so that it's not about us as individuals. It's about the systems and processes of effectively communicating the message that our church is sending internally and externally. And it doesn't rely on us being at our computers every day.
So I think you hit on something that's fantastic for not just church communications, that group, but I know I talk about volunteers, volunteer culture, even in production space or first impression space or any of the kind of touches to the worship experience, that even if it's a volunteer role, mm-hmm. why not, let's put it down on paper, a job description, let's create an org chart.
Yes.
So that if something happens to a volunteer, we've built a system to where we can plug somebody else in there. Not that we don't value the person in the position, but how do we replace ourselves very quickly and not have to reinvent the wheel every time?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so let me take a step back for a second. And there was four things that you talked about when it came to what this shift or landscape change meant for communicators. And the first one was vision starts at the top. We hear about that a lot, but walk me through your perspective on that.
Yes. So if we are in marketing or communications, I think that that we can easily assume that you're somebody who has a lot of great ideas and is probably has the gift of, I don't know if Carl, have you ever done Strengths Finders?
Yes. Yeah.
So I think strategy is probably, if you're a good marketer or communicator, strategy is probably one of your strengths finders, I would just guess. And so I think sometimes the friction that causes is we're in our role and we're kind of seeing a big picture because marketing communications serves every department typically. Mm-hmm. So we kind of see this big picture. And so we've got all these ideas and we I think sometimes can create our own vision for where the organization or the church needs to go. But the problem with that is that's going to create friction at the top, because senior leadership, they're the ones, it is their responsibility to create and lead that vision. And I do believe, I'm very passionate about the fact that I believe that someone needs to be sitting at the leadership table who, if they're not the one doing the marketing and communications, they need to be overseeing marketing and communications, because the farther away you get from senior leadership, the easier it is for that vision to be lost. I think right. that senior leaders often forget that, or maybe they've never realized that. So if you're a senior leader listening today, you need to understand that if you feel like you're over communicating your vision, that probably means you're just now beginning to communicate it enough.
Yes.
So,
very true.
I am passionate about the person who is over marketing communications being either a part of the leadership team or has a direct line to the communications team. But ultimately, senior leadership needs to be the one who is owning and casting that vision of where are we going, so that marketing communications can fall in line as a part of communicating that vision. When we are misaligned, Tim Stevens, our VP of consulting here on our team, has this incredible tool that he walks teams through. So I'll try to verbally describe it and see if you can capture it. But basically, if you imagine like one big arrow, right, with a hollow middle, and that's the organization, and that's the direction, whatever direction that arrow is pointed, the whole organization is going that way. We as team members or volunteers or congregation members, we are all little arrows within that big arrow, and we all need to be pointed in the same direction as that big arrow in order to be able to gain momentum and go together in the same direction. I kind of think of it as like a school of fish, right? If you've ever seen a school of fish in the ocean, it's just this beautiful, amazing picture of what an organization is like when everybody is pointed and going in the same direction. The problem is, when you have that person who's going in the other direction, like that one fish that's swimming opposite of everybody else, it's really easy to spot that fish or that person in our church, because they're like elbowing everybody. They're fighting really hard. Like everything is a fight. They're cranky all the time.
Wait a sec. There's fights in the church?
Oh, yeah, right? No. Never. Those people are really easy to spot. The ones that are difficult to spot are the ones that are just swimming a couple degrees in a different direction. Those are the ones that can over time do really, really tough damage to the organization. So that's why vision has got to start at the top, and everything has got to be aligned around that vision so that we can all point together in the same direction and build momentum in our energy and not have sideways energy that's going to be detrimental to the overall mission and vision of our church. So I think that was a very long answer to your question, but you got my, you kind of poked some buttons there for me. So,
All right. How do we, along with that, how do we understand our persona, and how do we create a feedback loop with our team?
So these are two of my favorite topics to think about. So the first is your question about persona. So this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart. It's one that is really difficult to think about from an organizational standpoint, because we, especially in church and ministries, our mission is typically some sort of the Great Commission, right? I mean, Jesus was really clear, go and make disciples of all nations. So I think we heard that and we're like, great, we're supposed to reach everybody. The problem with that is that if we're not clear about who we're trying to reach, we're going to try to reach everybody. And then in results, we're not going to reach anybody, because our content is not going to be relevant. You cannot create content that is relevant to every single person in the entire universe. Right. And I think a lot of times we try to do that and we fail, and it ends up being cheesy or not excellent or cheap, because we're trying to reach everybody. What we need to do as an organization is be self-reflective and realize God has uniquely gifted and wired our team and placed our church in a specific community. What are the commonalities and similarities of the people who are coming to our church, and how can we reach more of those people? that doesn't always mean that they're going to look the exact same. Like, it might not all be 50-year-old males, right? But it might be family units that have similar values or commonalities that they're looking for in a church. Or it might be, you know, maybe your children's ministry is thriving and you realize that you're attracting a ton of single moms and God has wired and gifted your, you know, team to be able to serve single moms really well. That's what a persona is. It's figuring out who has God uniquely gifted us to reach, getting clear on that. And then everything in the organization is filtered through that lens, because I've never met anybody in church or ministry that has more time in the day. We all have so much to do, never ending to-do lists. And I believe that finding and getting really clear on your persona across the organization, it helps you say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things, so that we are really effective in our ministry and we're not all just running around like chickens with our head cuts off because we're super busy, but actually not getting anything done. So that's why I believe persona is really important, because it provides clarity for the whole organization. And Carl, to go back to what you just said earlier about leading up, it allows us to lead up, because if we've agreed as an organization that we're trying to reach this type of family or this type of single mom or this type of, teenager in our community, then when we're assigned a new project on our never-ending to-do list, we can say, hey, leadership team, I love that idea. That sounds like a really exciting project, but I'm not sure that that aligns with what we've agreed on our persona. Can we reevaluate that and make sure that this is actually a priority for our church? Mm. So it helps us be able to lead up when we have clarity like that.
Tell me about feedback. As we scale up, what's the best way to either offer feedback to our leadership or each other?
Yeah. So I love feedback loops, because I think that goes back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this conversation, the rate of change, especially with technology. I'm not really a fan anymore of I am a fan of strategic plans. I think strategic plans are really important, but I think that we hinder growth when we're so proactive about planning that we're planning, 5 years out, or sometimes even a year out can be dangerous. I think it's important to have a general idea and a general roadmap of where we're going. But when we plan a year out and we're super rigid and we don't allow room to be agile and take advantage of opportunities that come our way, or as our church and the community around us changes, that's why I think feedback loops are really important. So what I mean by that, a couple things. One, I would encourage every marketing communications team at a church, be transparent about your workload. I think that's where a lot of the friction comes into play, is senior leadership is continuing to add more and more to the communications team's plate. And the communications team is going, hey, our workload has doubled. It's just me. Like, I'm working part-time. That's reality for a lot of churches mm-hmm. that are listening to this. I literally don't have more hours in the day to get this done. So I would encourage you to create a feedback loop, meaning use a project management system, make it transparent. So you can say, great, so happy to work on this. You know what? It's number 10 on my priority list based on these other 9 things that I have to get done by this date.
What would you like to move?
Exactly. What would you like to move? Or, mm-hmm. Maybe this isn't as high a priority as you thought it was. And that's not to be super rigid, but it's just to communicate, hey, here are my priorities. Here's what I'm working on. Does this need to be changed? Happy to do it, but here's the order. The second thing is for your congregation. So kind of what we talked about with persona and thinking about multi-generations in our congregations, allow a place for you to constantly be thinking about surveying, is what we're doing working or is it not? And so that could be as simple as a suggestion box in your sanctuary. It could be an online form where you encourage people to go and give feedback. It could be you proactively sending out regular surveys to get feedback. But I would just encourage, for as the marketing or communications leader at your church, view your job as like, I kind of view marketing as a scientist, like we're all scientists, right? It's all an experiment because what worked yesterday might not work tomorrow. And what's going to work tomorrow is definitely not going to work a year from now. So view your job as just have an insatiable curiosity of constantly going, what's working, what's not, how can we improve this? At Vanderbilt, we have a value called constant improvement. And so we're always thinking about, you know, how can we improve what we're doing to make sure it's actually serving the churches we work with and not to just assume that it is because we believe it's the right way. So we could do a whole nother podcast on feedback loops, but that's just a little bit for you.
The show notes for this episode are available now at makingsundayhappen.com.
In the mailbag this week, I went back to the basics for you, and I asked you, why are you choosing to serve in ministry when you could earn more money in another job? Okay, what is motivating your calling? What is your why? So here are some of your responses. Elton Benjamin said, when you've really witnessed the move and favor of God in your life, giving back becomes your purpose and passion, and there is no greater motivation than that. Kenny Hackbarth said, because I love doing it. There's nothing else that sounds as fun, challenging, and rewarding to me. I see people's lives changed by God, and I'm part of something much bigger than myself. No greater reward. Mark Winston said, God called us, and it's not about the money. It's about showing someone the love that Jesus has for them. It's about seeing God transform people to the person he has created them to be. Gregory Lloyd said this, I'm privileged to be called by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The money will follow. Sorrow, free riches await me both in this life and in the life to come. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack any good thing. It is no sacrifice to serve the Lord. It is pure joy. I love seeing believers put the principles of the kingdom and exercise the life of the King within them and see the results it produces. Greg Morgan said, a very wise mentor of mine said to me when I knew I was called into pastoring, he said, if you can do anything else besides pastor, do it because you won't be satisfied being a pastor. If you can't be satisfied doing anything else, then you should go into the ministry. Those called to minister are never happy doing anything else. You can always make more money if you need to by doing other things, side ventures, tent making, things like that, etc. That is, if the church lets you do a side hustle, which if you're a church, I strongly encourage you, let your people have side hustles. They can earn money, more money in other places, but they're choosing to serve the church. And so let them make money on the side if they need to, and judge them for the work that they're doing for you only. And if their job is faltering any, then you can have that conversation, but let them have a side hustle if you would. All right, last one for you. Lindsay Cunningham said this, pastor's wife here, so slightly different perspective. There have been multiple times over the years where I wish God had called my husband into banking or some other 9-to-5 job, but he didn't. Last night, I sat at a table full of people who played a part in rallying around a couple whose marriage was in a very dark place. Those of us at the table have been in their corner fighting alongside them over the last several months to help bring their marriage back to life. Last night was a celebration of how far they've come. That is my personal why. That's what gives me life and gives me joy, being a part of that kind of life-changing community. So, guys, those are just a few of the dozens of responses that we got from you guys. I love hearing your why. I know it may sound like a no-brainer. Calling, it's a calling. I know that. I want to go a little bit deeper. It's good to remember why we're doing what we're doing. So I want to bring us back to the basics sometimes. So I want us to remember why we're in ministry and why we could choose to make more money somewhere else. We could choose to do different things in other fields, but we're choosing ministry. Why? So my challenge to you this week is remember your why. Think about your why. Think about why you're in ministry. Think about why you're doing what you're doing. And don't lose that. Don't lose your why. All right, coming soon for the mailbag, I'm going to be asking you to send in selfie videos asking the questions that you want answered. So if you want to be on the podcast and ask a question, get ready for your chance. That's coming in the near future. We'll have a page on our website all lined up for you. All you have to do is put in your information, upload your video, and you're good to go. Also going to be giving some free stuff for everybody who submits questions. If we use it on the show, you get free stuff. Thinking about giving out a free production team handbook to every single person that submits a question that we use on the show. So next year, we're going to need one for every single week. This is a weekly podcast. So we're going to look for 52 of you to send in questions by selfie video, ask your questions, and we're going to air them here on the show every week. So be looking for that. It's going to be 1230.media/mailbag. We haven't created that landing page yet, but be looking for it in the coming weeks. We're working on it. It'll be live here soon. So 1230.media/mailbag is where you'll go to upload your selfie video. That's coming next year. All right, if you have a question for me or our team, before we get that landing page up and rolling, you can email me, carl@1230.media. You can find me on social media. I'd love to connect with you on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. Facebook is kind of where I'm landing most of the time now, so feel free to hit me up on Facebook and reach out anytime. The direct podcast URL for our podcast is makingsundayhappen.com. All of our archive shows are in there, over 200 episodes of the show and counting. Lots of great interviews, lots of great content there for you. Next week on the show, I welcome back my friend Holly Tate from Vander Blumen. Holly will be sharing more about how to scale up your church communications team. Fantastic content. Can't wait to wrap that interview up with you guys next week. Well, I believe in you guys. You're making a difference for the kingdom. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit makingsundayhappen.com.